The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics are doing to Kevin Durant. Defense on goblin mode. Yeah, I said it. And the latest on Chris Middleton's MCL. Can the Milwaukee Bucks, defending champs, survive without him? Let's go.
Big trouble. A lot of injured players.
So game one, Celtics played a perfect 45 seconds to end the game, and they won it on the buzzer beater. In game two, it was a near perfect fourth quarter. To come back from 17, which was what they were down in the first half, okay. But to shut down Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving completely, look at this graphic. This graphic is art. Woo. 1 for 17 combined. That's what Durant and Irving were when it mattered most. I say again, defense on goblin mode. Celtics 2, Brooklyn squad douche, Frank Isola around the horn to you. This more about what the Celtics are doing, what Kevin Durant is not doing.
Now, this is more about Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. There have been people over the last few days who have talked about Kyrie Irving maybe being the best offensive guard of all time. We've all talked about Kevin Durant perhaps being the best offensive player of all time. You mentioned 1 for 17. Kevin Durant in this series is 13 of 41. Kevin Durant is an all-time legendary player. It's just not good enough. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the fourth quarter last night, it wasn't just about scoring. They were playmaking. I think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving lost a little bit of confidence and faith in their teammates. First three quarters, getting everyone involved. Fourth quarter, it was a lot of them trying to go isolation. They couldn't make shots. This is on your two superstars.
Follow-up question, Frank. It's not the first time Kevin Durant's been double-teamed or triple-teamed in a game. We still haven't seen him struggle like this. You said he's lost confidence or played like he lost confidence the first two games. Is that something he can get back?
No, what I'm talking about is if you go to the beginning of the game, Bruce Brown scores 9 straight points. A lot of that is coming from Kevin Durant passing out of double teams. I just don't think he was quick enough, wasn't aggressive enough. And Tony, think about any of the great duos in history, whether it's Michael and Scottie, Magic and Kareem, Kobe and Shaq. You're going on the road and your two best players go 1 for 17. You could talk about everything else. It falls on those two guys.
Harry Lowes Jr., bring you in here. More about the Celtics and the Nets.
So it's a little bit of both, but I'm going to give the Celtics their credit. And Tony, it has a little bit to do with something that you said. I think we were all watching this last night and thinking, okay, yes, they're putting the clamps down on, you know, double and triple teams, but eventually Kevin Durant is always able to superhero his way out of these things, and he just wasn't able to do that. And I think that the Celtics do deserve credit for that, and they did it without their best defender in Robert Williams. So that was just an incredible performance in and of itself. But they kept him out of rhythm. And Kevin Durant's game, and one of the reasons we revere him as an offensive player, is he does everything very smooth, very rhythmic, very fluid motions in a way that we appreciate his volume because of it, in a way that we don't do with Nikola Jokic, because his game is not as fluid or as rhythmic as it is. It kind of looks like he's out there just trying to close the rings on his Apple Watch, in a sense. So to me, I think the Celtics deserve a lot of credit because of that. And, you know, I think Kevin Durant will eventually snap out of it because he is that great rhythmic player.
Tim Kalishaw, more about what the Celtics are doing or what Durant and Irving, but Durant is not doing.
Yeah, I think I'm more with Frank here. Those numbers are just too staggering for Irving and especially for Durant. That play you showed, the last play of game one that we all marveled at, that great ball movement by the Celtics. You don't see anything like that from Brooklyn at any point in the game. It's Kyrie's turn to isolate, then it's Durant's turn to isolate. They have to work too hard against a really good defense. It's not like the Celtics defense doesn't matter. It's really good, but they have to work too hard for these shots. Now, in the series goes home and they shoot a little better, maybe they win these games and we're talking about something different. But I just see a one-on-one team and a basketball team, and the basketball team's up 2-0.
Ramona, as we turn to you, let me just throw this in there. It's 2-0 Boston. One game was decided on a buzzer beater. Another game was a 6-point game that required but the worst shooting performance of Durant's, you know, postseason career. Is it the Celtics that much in control, or can the Nets get this back?
You know, Tone, something really strange has just happened to me. Frank Isola persuaded me. He did.
Whoa!
I was going to say,
that is
Frank,
a shocking admission to show where he's scoring the argument.
This has never happened.
I guess the points go to Frank.
I don't understand what happened. This is like the first day. Look, I really was thinking it was Boston's defense. They're the best defense in the league. I'm flustered. I don't I don't know what's happening. Boston is the best defense in the league. They're making everything he does really complicated and really hard. You can't go anywhere without three guys checking him. But I remember watching Kevin Durant in Golden State, and everybody has always tried to do the same thing to Kevin Durant, which is get physical with him, get bodies on him, make him work for it. But when he was in Golden State, they would move the ball around, and it wasn't just a bunch of ISO ball, which is what you're seeing in this series so far. And as Tim might have been right, too. My gosh, give him some more points.
What are you doing, Ramona?
But I know, what's happening to me right now.
Okay.
Like, the Boston's moving the ball. They're not, they don't have any ball movement right now in Brooklyn. And that's, I think that'll change. Like, Kevin Durant can get to the free throw line. He was 18 for 20 last night at the line. They got to get out in transition. Right. They got to score easy buckets. But this is really about the Nets.
Okay. Everybody's right so far, except, I guess, for you, Ramona, with that score.
I know.
News of the day for Brooklyn. Ben Simmons expected back for game four. Not game three, game four. Could Ben Simmons be the fix in his first game ever with a new team? Is he plug in and play, Frank?
I don't understand how he knows he's available for game four on Monday, but not game three on Saturday. That makes no sense to me. The last time the guy played was June 20th. When we last saw him play, he was struggling to shoot from the outside. And in that series against Atlanta, he was 14 of 45 from the free throw line. So can he be a situational player for defensive purposes? How can you be expecting him to come in and be a major contributor? I'm not buying it.
Harry Lyles Jr.?
I think the difference here is that they wouldn't need him to be a major contributor. You just lost a game by 7 points in which your two best scorers went 1 for 17 in the second half. I think you can make up 7 points right there.
Tim Kalishaw?
All they're asking him to do is just go in and guard Jason Tatum. How hard could that be after not playing basketball for a year?
And wait till he gets fouled.
You're kidding. Yes, of course.
I don't think he can.
Well, I'm being serious here. Could they have, if he was available and it's the last 10 seconds of the game, like in game one, and you just plug him in, is that an ad for Brooklyn that they need, Ramona?
Not if they foul him. But look, I think it's on paper, Ben Simmons is exactly what they need. He's going to push the tempo. He's going to play defense. Okay. He's long. Gives them another option. But they don't play the games on paper. Can I go with that cliche?
Goodness. What are you doing today? Ramona, do you have a lunch somewhere after the show? I mean, we've been hard. We'll move on. Bulls 114, Bucks 110 last night. Huge, gritty win for Chicago. Frozen DeRozan, ice cold.
Cold.
Another one on the all-time reel for Gus Johnson. He's just the best. 41 for DeRozan. He was 8 of 9 when Giannis was his primary defender. What? But now the biggest news for Milwaukee and in these playoffs. The latest on Chris Middleton, sprained MCL, a 3 to 4 week injury. Yes, that's the biggest news for Milwaukee via Dario Melendez of WISN. But also big news now for Phoenix crossing this afternoon. Devin Booker strained hamstring. His timeline is out 2 to 3 weeks now, according to Windhorse. So the two finals last year with real injury scares, real time away for key players, and they're 1-1 in the first round. Tim Kalischer, how much concern is there for Milwaukee and Phoenix?
I think logically you'd say there's more concern for Milwaukee. They're playing what we at least perceive as a better team. The Bulls were better than the Pelicans in the regular season. Now, what we've seen from New Orleans in the last week, though, is crazy. That's a team playing with its hair on fire ever since they beat the Spurs, beat the Clippers, split with the Suns, hit 57% of their threes in game two. But I still think the Suns are a deeper team. They're a better team right now. Not last year, but right now than Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's thin, and they didn't really, without Middleton, that's kind of putting it all on Giannis, and I could see them losing this series to the Bulls.
You could see them losing this series now. The Middleton injury, which 3 to 4 weeks puts Chicago ahead of Milwaukee right now for Tim Kalischer.
It's their second or third best player. I mean, he's a very important player for them, and this series is already very tight.
Momo, is this series now a toss-up?
You know, I think both are toss-ups. I'll still go with the two teams that went to the finals last year. Milwaukee has historically lost one of the first two games at home. They did that a bunch last year during the playoffs. They come back. Phoenix, same thing. They played without Chris Paul in a couple of those first-round series games. He had COVID in another series last year. They played without him a lot this year and did okay. I like the two. I like the Pelicans. I like the Bulls, but I'll still go with the two guys who are in the final.
Frank Isola, what is Middleton's 3 to 4 week timeline mean for Milwaukee? What is Booker's 2 to 3 for Phoenix mean for the Suns?
Yeah, well, all of you people don't think the regular season means anything, but Phoenix having the best record, the matchups are favorable for them in this round, and I even think in the next round. But for Milwaukee, think about it. The final day of the season, Milwaukee rested their guys, which meant they were going to fall to third with Boston winning. So now if they play Boston in the second round, Boston has the home court advantage. If they play Brooklyn, obviously they're playing a terrific team who they beat last year when Kyrie got hurt and James Harden. Injuries factor in, and Middleton late in the game is a big-time playmaker for the Bucks. This is a
How did this become about Brooklyn halfway through your discussion on the Milwaukee Bucks? Hold on a second. Harry Lyles Jr., please.
Well, Frank, you know we all got to ramp ourselves up to get some
Watch yourself, Harry. Watch yourself.
That's a banned word. Now,
but I do think out of these two injuries, I have more concern for the Bucks. I don't think that we view them as a big three in a way that we view other teams. But Middleton's production is nothing, you know, that is anything little about it, right? Like, this is somebody that averaged 24, 6, and 5 in the finals last year. Like, this is one of their big three guys. And so that have him out against a Chicago Bulls team, which the knock against them all year was, well, they can't beat the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Well, they just took a game on the road. So to me, I think the most concern is in Milwaukee because Phoenix, as Tim said, has the most depth. But I do think ultimately both of these
Tim Kalischer, you got a last word?
Yeah, I just think Chicago had a horrible shooting night for their big three in game one. When they came back a little bit, they won on the road. Now they're going home. That spells trouble to me.
All right. Trouble for Ramona Shelburne after she gave all the points away to her competitors in the first word. Buyer sells on the other side in 2 minutes. It's an interesting strategy.
Frank,
I appreciate gratitude.
I don't think
it's just not gifts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Sixers up 3-0 on the Raptors, and how Philly beat Toronto, a game they probably had no business winning. Joel Embiid, they say he does it at game winners. This is an absurdo turnaround three in overtime. Not technically a buzzer beater because there were still ticks left. Same arena 3 years ago, Kawhi shot in Embiid's face. Ramona, what was the significance of Embiid's game winner last night?
I mean, their loss in 2019 was the lowest moment of his basketball career. To lose that game the way they did after how poorly he had played in that series. So, I mean, he had one game in that series where he had zero field goals. He made zero. So to have this game where he was dominant all night and hits the game winner, he'd been 0-14 in shots at the end for a go-ahead or tie at the end of games before that shot. So this now puts them up 3-0 in this series at the scene of where he had his lowest moment. It's a pretty big spot for him.
Tim Kalischer.
I mean, we know he's a versatile player. That's a Steph Curry turnaround. That is a perfectly smooth shot. And this is a game where, once again, they're in overtime. Harden has fouled out in the fourth quarter. It's all up to Embiid to do practically everything, and he delivers.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I don't know that this is going to propel them in a way that they weren't already going to go, but I do think it's a good morale booster just because you saw that emotion from Embiid a few years ago. And to knock down that shot in that arena, I know as I was watching this game, especially once Harden fouled out, I was like, all right, he's going to get this chance, and he knocked it down.
Frank Isola.
All right, nobody wants to say it. I'll say it. Let's give Dawk a little credit. He called a timeout to bail Embiid out on the inbounds pass. He makes that jumper, and that is the biggest moment of Embiid's career. He's made this series all about himself, and he has delivered in all three games.
But you just made that topic all about Doc. That was very odd. We were ramping up to it. Frank, we'll move on. The college basketball shocker of the year, Villanova. Fans still wondering if it's real. It is. Jay Wright retiring. So sudden after the Final Four appearance this year, and so out of nowhere considering some coaches have a year-long retirement. Nobody? No reaction? Everybody, guys? The two titles for Jay Wright. He is Mr. Wright. Harry Lyles Jr., what does it mean for Villanova? What does it mean for college basketball?
I'm really excited to see here what kind of staying power that he's built at that program, because obviously he's had success throughout many years, but especially over the last 5 or 6 years, he's built that program into one of college basketball's best. And now you have Kyle Neptune coming in, who a lot of people saw like, wait, this guy coached 1 year at Fordham, went 16-16. He was an assistant at Villanova for a decade. You have the similar succession plan that you're seeing at Duke and North Carolina. So to me, his legacy is still going to be written here in the next few years, seeing what his successor does.
All right, guys, Sola.
Up until this year, I had a financial investment in that school and in that program. You know, on that campus, they have a beautiful cathedral, which everyone prays in. And when they see Jay Wright, they bow down. That guy is an absolute institution. Class guy that won. The guys that he sends to the NBA are all the same kind of guy. The players that don't make it to the NBA are all the same kind of hardworking guys. What a run he had there. Remarkable job.
Can Villanova keep it going? Tim Kalischuk, can I bring you in here? You can talk about Wright, of course, but talk about Villanova going forward.
8 NBA draft picks the last 5 years. He had built that up into a practically a blue blood program. But could this have anything to do with NIL money? He sees a Kentucky player staying out of the NBA draft because he can make $2 million next year at Kentucky. Can Villanova compete with that? And if they can't, maybe that has something to do with his thought process.
Ramona Shelburne, you have a view of it?
I mean, my first thought when I saw this was like, wait, does he have another job lined up? Because how old is he? He's like Tim Kalischuk. You could tell me he's 40 and I believe you. I mean, he's like Jay.
He's 60.
I guess.
He's 60 with that hair part. It's amazing. He's Mr. Wright, Ramona. I mean,
I was surprised. I mean, it seemed like he had another 10, 15 years.
Well, what are you telling us, Ramona? NBA interest? Did you know anything about
this? Well, you know, I checked on this. I made a couple calls this morning. It doesn't seem like that's where this is heading. This actually feels like he is really retiring, and it feels like a pretty well thought out succession plan. He just didn't want the pomp and circumstance that Coach K had.
As Mr. Lyles mentioned.
Charles Barkley said the Lakers are older than Jay Wright, so why would he want to coach them?
Oh, Barkley said that? I was about to say, Frank, that's your best line ever. Of course it's Barkley. Harry, you mentioned Kyle Neptune, who was 16-16 at Fordham. Can I say that may be the greatest Fordham season of my life, or at least of my adult life? That gets you the next job. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Wimbledon banning Russian and Belarusian players. That means women's world number 4, Arina Sabalenka, and men's world number 2, Daniil Medvedev, are not competing. Novak Djokovic called it crazy. Alina Svitolina, a Ukrainian player, said, we don't want them banned completely. If players don't speak out against the Russian government, then it's the right thing to ban them. We just want them to speak up. Tim Kalischuk, how does Wimbledon banning Russian and Belarusian athletes come over to you?
Very misguided, very unfortunate. The year that Medvedev becomes the number one men's player in the world, and he has spoken out against Putin before, he's told he can't play at Wimbledon because of what's going on in Ukraine. Does anyone at Wimbledon really think this is going to change Putin's mind and his direction on the war that's going on? I think it's a really, really short-sighted thought process and unfortunate for the players, all the players.
You know, I don't think it's crazy, you know, but I understand why they're doing it. I don't think this is the right way to get any action here. It's just unfortunate for the athletes involved because it's not going to change anything. But this is what the world is doing. I mean, there's bans of everything, Russian imports, everything. And I think that's, you know, they're trying to do something. And I understand the sentiment behind it. I just don't think it's the right way.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, I'm not always crazy about mixing politics with sports, because remember, 1980, the U.S. didn't go to Russia for the Olympics. 84, they didn't come to L.A. for the Olympics. You had players, I mean, runners that were banned from the Boston Marathon just a couple of days ago. I don't like it. I applaud Novak Djokovic for taking
We've seen, of course, in this country, politics and sports and intertwined in some way. All-Star Games moved from locations because of politics. Harry Lyles Jr., how do you see Wimbledon banning Russian and Belarusian players?
I understand the idea behind the gesture, but I don't think it accomplishes what they think it would. Like, I don't think this happens and then Putin looks and is like, oh, wait a second, we don't have representation in Wimbledon. Let me rethink what I'm doing here. I do think if you are trying to accomplish a similar message that they're trying to do, I think that you have those players compete perhaps under a neutral flag. But outside of that, I don't think that this should be something that's happening.
Thanks for your thoughts on that, Ramona Shelburne, Tim Kalishuk. Great work today. But it's Harry Lyles Jr., Frank Isola, in Showdown in 2 minutes.
Let's ramp it up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
North Central has taken the lead here in game one. Oh my. Oh no. That was out of nowhere.
Oh yes, full on takedown, reminiscent of a football tackle of Kyle Farnsworth. Anyone remember that on the baseball diamond? That was North Central's Josh Phillips with the home run, and Weatherford pitcher Owen Woodward with the assault. Today, the JUCO Conference suspended Woodward 4 games for the tackle. Suspended Phillips 2 games for taunting. Harry, did they get that right?
I think they did, because clearly something had to be said to draw such a reaction from him, because we all know baseball players don't actually like to fight.
Right, guys, Sola?
Well, you know, you guys don't like the unwritten rules of baseball. It should be. The next time you come up, maybe somebody throws a changeup, hits him in the hip. But here's the thing with taunting. He's wrong, out of line, and the pitcher's wrong with what he did. Both of them are wrong. They got what they deserve.
Guys, solo. Point. We'll move on. Grizzly Timberwolves game 3, Minnesota tonight. Last time the Timberwolves played at the Target Center, they were standing on tables and Hulkamaniacing shirts. F-bombs were exclaimed. Frank, how much does tonight's venue change or affect this game 3, this series?
This was the game where Patrick Beverley tried to steal Anthony Edwards' moment. I will say this about Minnesota. They used to be seen as a pushover. I do like the fact that they play with an edge. I think they'll be physical in this game. This series has a lot of juice to it.
I think it matters a little bit, but not as nearly as much as if they were going to Memphis. I think the Grizzlies got too much hunger in them right now. I don't see Ja Morant going down like this. I think that the Grizzlies are going to get it done.
Frank Isola, it can be both Ant Edwards and Patrick Beverley's moment. There's more than one moment in each moment. We'll give you the point. Nonetheless, here's your moment, Frank Isola.
All right. Well, you know, when Ramona Shelburne walks to her big office at Crypto.com Arena, she has to go through a maze of statues, because that's what they have there. One of Jerry West, Kareem, Oscar De La Hoya. The Mets, though, at Citi Field, finally added a statue, way too late, of Tom Terrific. If it happened 10 years ago, my father could have seen it. Tom Seaver could have seen it. A lot of people that I know could have seen that statue. Bravo to the Mets for finally doing the right thing.
Good to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're on a 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.